Welcome to the Very Well Mind podcast. I'm Mina B, and I'm a licensed social worker, mental health educator, and author of Owning Our Struggles. I'll be chatting with experts, wellness advocates, and others about the power of community care in improving your mental health. We'll delve into topics such as friendships, managing difficult relationships, and most importantly, how to cultivate belonging and support in our lives. Now, let's jump into today's episode. Achieng Ogutu is a Kenyan-born model and digital content creator who has made a name for herself through social platforms by serving us a daily bowl of motivation, daily affirmations, self-love, and fearlessness. The positivity became a viral sensation, leading Vogue to name her the Confidence Queen. Global attention from major brands such as Victoria's Secret and Away followed, and she was also chosen for this year's Create and Cultivate Top 100 list for creators. Additionally, Achieng dives deeper into building confidence in her new weekly podcast, The Queen's Archives. Each week, she welcomes a guest into her Queen's Quarters to discuss life and all its messy in-betweens with humor and Prosecco. She now resides in New York City and plans to continue her journey in hyping others up and creating a space for all to feel like queens. Hello, Achieng. Thank you for being a part of the show today.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me today as well.
Of course. I'm really excited to jump into this conversation because you are just a star. And I really want to know a lot about your journey. So you are known as the Confidence Queen. And to have that type of title is truly an honor. So can you please let us know how you became coined the Confidence Queen?
I have just been calling myself that because that's how I feel. For a long time, I didn't feel like I was confident. For a long time, I didn't feel like I was worthy. So I self-proclaimed it and said, listen, I'm going to be the Confidence Queen and live my life in that manner, in that lifestyle, in the essence that is very much queen, queenie, queendom. And so I think I coined it. And then later on, it was solidified by Vogue magazine.
Mm. How did you get to a place where you were self-proclaimed the Confidence Queen? Because I heard you say, like, for a long time, you didn't have confidence. You felt these difficult emotions. And so what was the pivot that made you say, you know what, this is the new step that I'm going to take to feel more confident?
I've been on my journey of trying to really love myself and be confident with myself for a really long time. But during the pandemic, I was in a place where I was just feeling a little bit more broken and I felt like I really needed some more healing. And so I started going to therapy actively and started my journey of just healing, self-love and self-confidence and just finding worth in myself and not the people around me or my surroundings. And that's kind of where it really, really started for me, trying to just get to a point where I trust myself, I feel strong in myself, I know that I'm worthy, I know that I'm loved and safe. And that's kind of like where the journey really, really started. And the journey is still going on, you know?
Yeah.
Queens have bad days too.
Exactly.
But I think I'm getting to that point slowly.
Do you feel comfortable naming what was happening for you that you didn't feel confident before?
Yeah, I think I was in a transition period in my life. I was in grad school at that point and not too sure about what I really wanted to do. I felt like I was living for the approval of my parents and my community back home in Kenya and feeling really torn because I really wanted to do other things that made me happy and not made them happy. And I was feeling really lost and unaware of my emotions and aware of like just where I belonged in the world and in my community. And I felt like I needed to step away from that and kind of really find my power again. And that's when I like actively was like, listen, you have one life. You live every day, you will die once. And so if you live your one life on this earth for other people who are already living their own lives, then like that just doesn't feel fair. And I think that was kind of like really heartbreaking for me. And I think I needed to just get to a point where it was all about me and I was okay with that.
How did that choice, making that pivot, impact the people around you, in particular your family? Because I hear you say, for a really long time, I was living for them. But then you decided, you know what? I have to live for me and I have to make me happy. So how did that impact your family with you just stepping more boldly into your own choices?
So I come from a Kenyan family. I'm Kenyan, born and raised. And to do something that is not accepted by the elders, it's like, you're so disrespectful. You don't appreciate what people in this family or community have done for you. And so at first it came with a lot of pushback because they thought that I was going against what they felt was right for me. And they thought I was making a bad decision for myself. And so at first it was really, really tough for them and also really, really tough for me because then I also felt like, am I being disrespectful by kind of doing my own thing or am I not sort of giving my parents the respect or love that they deserved? And so it was really hard at first. And, you know, my parents still live in Kenya. And so I think it was also just hard for them to like imagine me kind of doing something that they have not envisioned for me. And it was hard, but now we're outside, you know? My parents are like obsessed with my career and my job. And so I think now they understand more because I think they were just afraid that I would do something that would not give me stability, that would not make me happy, or most importantly, like just give me a sense of security in this country.
You know, you're speaking to something so powerful. I relate completely. I'm born here in the U.S., but my parents were born in Panama and raised in San Andres, Colombia. And so I grew up in a household where it's like, you're going to be a doctor. You're going to be a lawyer. We pursued the American dream so that our child could go to college and become this prestigious person. And often, right, when you're a child of an immigrant, those roles are seen as you're either a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, something like that. And then they were like, you want to be a social worker? You want to do what?
Oh, my God. I feel that so much. Like, same thing with African families and communities. If you're not a doctor, you're a lawyer. If you're not a lawyer, you're a nurse. If you're not a nurse, you're an engineer. Like, that's all we got. And so my brother is a full-blown engineer, you know, so that career was already taken. So it was like, what about you, girl? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And my parents, when I was telling them I was doing Instagram and getting paid, they completely did not understand that. They would introduce, oh, this is my son. He's an engineer. He works in Switzerland. He works in renewable energy, all these amazing things, which my brother is it, right? And then they'll be like, and this is Achieng. She takes pictures. Huh? Hello. She takes pictures. And they never understood it. So they were like, so you just talk on the camera and then you post and then people like it. They say yes. Yeah. And then somebody pays you money. Yes. They just didn't understand the concept of that and only introduced me as Achieng. He takes pictures. So people are like a photographer. Anyway. So here we are today, though.
Here you are today. And you know what is so beautiful about what you're saying? I saw a segment of you on The Ellen Show a few years back where Ellen surprised you because you hadn't seen your family in 2 years. And seeing your family come out from behind the stage, your dad was literally jumping for joy. Like, I thought he was going to do cartwheels into the audience. And I just started bawling. I was like, look at the joy. Oh, my God. So it's so funny, like, even hearing you talk about the trajectory, but also what you're speaking to is honestly the growth of your parents, right? To be able to fully come to terms with, this is the choice our daughter made, and we're still proud of her. Like, the love was just radiating off the stage and watching y'all cry. Here I am bawling and crying. And I'm like, I miss my family in Panama. And I'm just like having all these different emotions. But I just wanted to speak to that because I wonder what that moment was like for you. And I know that was a few years ago. But do you feel like that has become now a full circle moment, seeing your family just see you in a completely different light?
Yeah, it felt kind of like magic. Mm. I still this day really don't know how that happened. Like how I was like talking to my parents and they're in Kenya that morning. And then a few hours later, they're like with me in LA at the Ellen show. Like it felt too magical. And I think that felt like a canon event. It was one of the first times my parents were kind of seeing me in a space that felt safe to them. Like, okay, you're in this space that's kind of like huge and kind of scary, but we feel safe. And then I went to grad school, which they were really excited about. And they thought like, okay, she's in grad school. She's going to be a corporate baddie. She's going to be a corporate girly. But then that's a point where then like I really started feeling like I was really living for my parents. You know, they were proud about the thing that just happened. But then now I'm in grad school. They were really happy and feeling like, yes, 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 you're on track to live the life we want for you. And it just didn't feel right. Thinking from then to where I'm at today, and at least the way my parents have grown in like accepting my freedom as a woman, but also like accepting that they don't have to protect me all the time. I think they are like, do this thing because they think it's best for me. So I don't know, best for them, if that makes any sense. And so they're doing it because it makes sense for them and it feels safe for them. And I think they're getting to a point where they feel like we don't have to always protect a Chiang. And we don't always have to protect her for the world, which is something that they did heavily when I was younger. They were just terrified that something would happen to me. And I feel like they have continued to live in that energy till this day, you know?
I mean, I really love that path. And I think a lot of people probably resonate with that. You know, our parents being very protective, but seeing you in that space of safety and also just seeing what the outcome has been, right? I'm sure that has been so beautiful to you, or at least for you. But there was also something that you said on the show that I thought was so beautiful, just seeing your growth, because you literally talked about the multiple jobs that you were working at the time. You said you were working a 9-to-5 while simultaneously cleaning homes, driving Uber, tutoring. And so I'm curious to know, what advice do you have for someone who is on the path of trying to build confidence in their career and wanting to step away from wanting to please their parents or other people and realizing that this is where I am now in my journey, but what is the confidence and motivation that I need to keep going? Because the fact that you kept going despite doing all those things and where you are now is so beautiful. What a beautiful journey. So I'm wondering for the person who is like, you know what, I'm about to just give up because I'm tired. I'm working multiple jobs too, and I don't know if there's a way forward. How did you stay strong in your commitment to honestly owning who you are and what you wanted out of life?
I just felt like there was something bigger for me than that. And I think even in that time of my life, there were so many things and experiences and events that happened that was so confirming of my journey and where I wanted to be, and that I was on the right path, and that even though it was hard, I knew there was something good coming for me. So it has to come from self. You know, it has to come from a point of like, I see a better version of myself. I see a higher version of myself. And that's what I can be and I will be. And I've talked about this so many times, but I got so much rejection in that point of my life. Whatever grad school I was applying to, they were like, oh, we can't do this for you. We can't give you a scholarship. I was trying to apply to internships. I was trying to do all these things. They were just like, no, 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 no. And something I always say, and my dad always tells me too, is that rejection is redirection. And sometimes in your season of growth, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of things you want that just don't come easy. And sometimes you get really discouraged easily, but those rejections are just redirecting you to exactly where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing around the people you're supposed to be around. And I think that's where the power of feeling like true in that space comes from. Understanding the power of redirection and understanding the power of rejection, and that no is not a no forever, that there is a space for you where you deserve to be. And it has your name right on top of it. Like, have you watched Barbie?
I actually haven't yet.
Oh my God, it's so good. Please, if you've not watched Barbie, pause, go watch it and
go
come
watch
back.
It.
Thank
okay.
you. But the first scene, it says Barbie Land. And that's how I envision people's spaces that they want to be. It's like me in the land or a Ching land. Like, it's exactly where you're supposed to be. And so don't be discouraged by the no's, and don't be discouraged by the change, because there is a sweet spot right in there where the thing you really want and deserve is.
The thing you want and deserve. I love that. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Very Well Mind podcast. I'm your host, Mina B. As you're sharing these things, especially around the concept of redirection, but also experiencing rejection, hearing no, you are also a digital content creator. You're a plus size model. You do so many different things, right? But you have such a large community online. And can you talk to us about how you became a digital content creator, but also how do you manage that? And how does that impact your mental health in a world where you can experience rejection online? You can experience the hate, the negativity, the trolling online. And I often see that these are the things that impacts people's ability to show up as their full selves. And it looks like that's something that you have been able to overcome. So how did you get to this place of even radiating your confidence as a digital content creator?
My journey into content creation has been interesting, but very fun. I started blogging in 2017. And in 2017, I got out of this relationship with this guy that I was obsessed with, in love with. I thought I was going to marry him. And I was really broken, really very broken, and thought my life was going to end. And feeling like I had lost myself so much in him. There was points I would like introduce myself as, I'm so-and-so's girlfriend. I wouldn't even introduce myself as like, this is me. Like, I had just made him my identity. And I just felt like I was really losing myself after that breakup. And it didn't feel good and it didn't feel right. And so I just felt like I needed to do something to get me back to me. I needed something. And so I just started blogging like every week, my affinity for life and trying to like explore my community and explore the city and explore things I love and food that I love that I didn't know I did, and fashion that I wanted to wear, or clothing that I wanted to wear that I was too afraid to wear because I was afraid of what his family will think or all these things. And so that's kind of just how it started. And so my friends were like, why don't you take everything that you're doing on your blog and then just move it onto Instagram? And I was like, yeah, let me do that. So then I started posting on Instagram actively, and it was just so much fun. Just like a community of women just talking about things that they love and their goals. And I was doing that for a long time. I just like really loved that. And then during the pandemic is when it kind of all took off more. And because there was just a lot of people back home who were like on the internet the whole time. And that's when I also started actively sharing my journey of healing with the audience I had then. And it started resonating with more people than just, you know, the people who are following me. And it's been so beautiful because I felt like I've really met and connected with people digitally who are like, you know, thank you so much for doing this because it's helped me wear this bikini, or it's helped me finally go out and get the job I want. It's made me travel. Or there was one woman in her 60s and she said, I had bought this bathing suit many years ago when I was going to go on vacation with my husband and I've never worn it. And we're going on vacation for our anniversary this year and I'm going to wear it. Like, things like that. And so that's the beauty of it. And it's so special and fun. And I think it's just like the beauty of womanhood, which I'm obsessed with. It's just so gorgeous. And when it comes to like negativity or hate or all these things and kind of just like the idea of being perceived by thousands of people, it feels kind of scary. It feels scary even right now. And the amount of hate I get for just posting, like, put on your bikini, or even just slapping my stomach, which is a very healing thing for me. The amount of backlash I get from something like that is absurd. And for a really, really long time, it would eat me up. It would mess up my whole week, even. And it would be like one comment that's negative out of like thousands of amazing comments. But that one thing that just really ate me. And I think I had to get to a point where I had to understand, like, their negativity and whatever they say has nothing to do with me and everything to do with them. If you're taking time out of your day, energy like you could be using to get clear skin, energy you could be using to fly to Germany, wherever you want to be, you're using to come onto my sexy page, my tantalizing sexy part of the internet, to give negativity, it makes no sense. That's such a silly thing for you to do. And so now I just kind of brush it off. There's so many good things happening in my life. There's so many amazing people in my digital community who are feeling seen and loved and celebrated and respected. And that's what I want to put my energy into, as opposed to somebody who's taking time out of their day to come and, you know, cause a temper tantrum in my comments. And so I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at being like, this has nothing to do with me and everything to do with you, baby. Bless. And that it's okay for me to block and prosper. So that's where I'm at with that.
I love it. You know, as a fellow digital content creator, I resonate so much. And I always say, you know, you're growing as a content creator when you see a negative comment and you're like, be blocked and blessed. Okay?
Because absolutely.
Because ain't nobody got time to argue with someone on the internet, in an Instagram comment section, whatever platform it is, it literally is a waste of energy. And it literally is not fruitful. It does nothing good for you, for the other person, and the people who are witnessing the experience. So I really love the way you broke all those things down. And one of the things that you've been speaking about now and that you talk a lot about in your work is the importance of visibility as well as representation for Black women. And I also know you have been vocal about wanting to create in real life experiences. So I'm curious to know if there is a bridge between the two and if you can talk a little more about visibility and the importance of representation and how that also connects to the next phase of your journey with putting together these experiences for people to connect in person.
I've had many conversations with especially younger women who are like, I didn't even know people like us could do that. Or I've been to events or conferences or public speaking events that I've spoken at. And somebody who like follows me or somebody who has not even seen me before just says like, oh my God, I didn't even know like you're here. I didn't even know that you could be here. That narrative needs to be cut. I want to push the narrative of like, yeah, I belong here. And yeah, it's not shocking to see somebody who looks like me and talks like me in this space. And so when it comes to curating spaces like that, I really love something that's tangible, right? I want somebody to walk into a space and leave being like, oh, these are three tangible things that I can do to get me here. Or this is a physical thing that I'm using, whether it's a book or whatever, to help me to get to where I need to be. And I've been thinking a lot about that because there's only so much that my digital presence can do. And I really feel like I want my audience to experience confidence in the most healing, tangible way possible. And so I've been, you know, kind of toying around with the idea of a confidence tour and kind of getting women into spaces where they feel seen, represented, respected, loved, and celebrated. Those are my five pillars. I really want people to feel that in a way that's vibrantly real, if that makes any sense. And so I think that's the bridge, like actually creating experiences and curating experiences for people to feel confidence in like the most pure raw form. And that's getting out of your comfort zone to do something you've never done before. But that is where the power lies beyond that hump.
Well, I can't wait. Make sure you have a stop in New York City so that I can be on this tour, please.
Absolutely, honey. I'm in Brooklyn, honey. So you
okay,
will be.
So,
you
so
will
I will be
present.
There.
And
I will be there.
Yes, yes.
Well, speaking of empowerment and really being able to uplift your community, you are starting a podcast called The Queen's Archives. Can you please tell us about your podcast and the concept behind it?
Yeah, it's actually already running. You guys can definitely go check it out wherever you get your podcasts from. But I'm obsessed with The Queen's Archives. It is a space where I invite like-minded people to come and chat, drink Prosecco, and just get real. You know what I mean? And it's been so much fun already, just kind of talking to these people who I look up to, talking to my friends and experiencing their stories in a way that I haven't before, and kind of learning about who they are and their affinity for life in a way that I haven't experienced before. And I think it's just been so much fun. And I think my favorite episode has been with my sister. And she is just quite a healing human. And it's been nice to experience people who I love very much in a different way.
So as we wait for the confidence tour, we can definitely be a part of the community by listening to the podcast. So I'm super excited to tune in. Achiang, it's been such a pleasure speaking to you today. And before we wrap up, I actually want to ask you a question I ask all of my guests. Please let us know, what does community care mean to you?
The first time I heard that word was last year. I was so burnt out from work and from everything. I was just saying yes to everything because I was afraid of like missing out. I want to be everywhere, you know? And my friend had just kind of seen me struggling and asked me like, what kind of community care do you need right now? Because it just feels like you're running on zero. And that's kind of like when I was like understanding what that meant. It's like, I felt like I had to do everything by myself. And especially as a Black woman in a space where people are like, you're strong, you're amazing, you can do this. It's like, you know, I'm like drowning and somebody's like, high five. I'm like, help me.
Like, where is the life vest?
Literally. It's like, high five. It's like, no, I need help. And my friend had asked me like, girl, what kind of community care do you need right now? Because I can see you struggling. And what that looked like for me at that point was just having people who could hold me accountable to myself and having people who could check in on me and kind of take care of me. It came in many forms of my girlfriends going on a walk with me, my girlfriends checking in on me and being like, did you go to therapy? Or did you drink your water today? Did you take your meds? Did you get your physical? You know, all that stuff. And so for me, community care is a space of intentionality. And that's what it's been like for me with my friends and my community and my family. And I feel like it's been really special to have that because for a really long time, I felt afraid to ask for help. And afraid to ask even people who like just want good things for me for assistance. And I think community care is a space of intentionality. That's kind of how I would describe it.
A space of intentionality. I love it. Achiang, thank you so, so much for your wisdom, for your light, and also for your confidence. Before we wrap, please let everyone know where they can tune in and learn more about you, your work, listen to your podcast, and just stay connected to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was so cute and healing. It's the perfect way to like start my day today. But you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at No Ordinary Noir, or you can hear my beautiful voice every Friday at the Queen's Archives on any platform that you get your podcast from. And yeah, as in, catch me on the streets looking cute and sexy as well. That's where you can find me. Yes.
Specifically the New York City streets, y'all. Okay.
Absolutely.
So if you see her in the streets, make sure you snap a photo and just let her know that she is radiant.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Achiang.
thank you so much for tuning into today's episode of the Very Well Mind podcast. If you found this conversation informative, please share today's episode with your friends and on your social media accounts. And of course, it would be greatly appreciated if you could take a moment to leave a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. We hope you'll join us again next week for another episode of the Very Well Mind podcast as we explore the power of community.